It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
29 minutes now before one. Time for us now to go to our question for today. And our Ask a Pastor. Pastor's already standing by. Pastor Joseph Fatta, who's going to be answering our question for today. Does the book of Hebrews teach that Christians can apostatize? Does the book of Hebrews teach that Christians can apostatize? Joining us now is Pastor Joseph Fatta. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is, does the book of Hebrews teach that Christians can apostatize?
Okay. This is a very, very important question, and also a very common thing that you would find among people that may ask the question. And probably to understand the question itself, it is to understand what is apostasy. What does it mean to apostatize? And then after we have understood and answered the question, then we must also go to the text. I think when I was scanning through, I came across Hebrews chapter 6, which is verse 4 to 6. That brings important issues for our attention. So, principally, when we are talking about apostasy, it is to rebel. To apostatize simply means to turn against. So, meaning, you have denied the faith, you have rejected what was given as a standard for you to follow. Then you say, I think this standard is below par. So I cannot identify myself with this. And so this is where, when all efforts have proved futile, then we see this person has rejected the faith, this person has apostatized. So maybe, I don't know whether the question is correct to say, does the book of Hebrews teach that Christians can apostatize? Or it should be probably what is the correct interpretation of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Why am I saying so? It is because when you go to the book of Hebrews itself, you must be able to understand to say, who wrote the book of Hebrews? To whom was it written? And what was the issue at the time? Because if we say, does the book of Hebrews teach that Christians are allowed to apostatize, we may limit our perspective of the book. Because remember, the primary audience of the book of Hebrews, the first audience, are not Christians, but they are Hebrews themselves. So you would find the Hebrews are in a problem, and the problem that they are in is that they are scattering, they are running away because of the wars that are taking place at the time. And so the book of Hebrews is written to encourage those people who have converted from from Judaism, and then now they have come to the knowledge of Christ. Now, because they have come to the knowledge of Christ and they are seeing the persecutions that are coming, there is a big temptation for people to go back to Judaism so that they can be spared from the persecution, because their belief is stemming from an understanding to say, I think we are being persecuted because we have denied the faith of Judaism. So there are two things here right now happening in the mind of a Hebrew. One is thinking to say, I am suffering because I have denied the Jewish institutions. I am suffering because I have denied what my forefathers have believed in. And yet, this person is saying, ah. So this new gospel, this new knowledge of Christ that we have been initiated to, now that we are enlightened about Christ, it appears this knowledge of Christ we have received, it is now making us have these persecutions. So maybe we just go back to Judaism. So this is like the context in which we are supposed to probably understand. That is how probably I was understanding the question itself. So that by the time we are getting to Christians allowed to apostatize, I think we should have understood it from the basic setup of the book and the chapter itself. Yeah, I don't know if that is making sense.
Okay, go ahead, Mfundisi, we're listening.
Sure, thank you. So, if that is the backdrop, then we need to understand that Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6, let me just read it. It says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. So I think this is where the contention is, to say, the writer is saying it is impossible to bring back to repentance to those who have once been enlightened, those who have tasted the heavenly gift, those who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and who have tasted the goodness of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. You know, last week I had a unique experience. I was working from some border town within Zambia. It's a place where I had been a pastor for, I pastored that place for 4 years. And then I left that place like 6 years later. I went back. Last week was 6 years later. So after going back, I started asking, you know, the members, because I was conducting a youth week of prayer in one of the churches of that district. Then I was asking, what about Brother So? What about Brother So? What about this one? What about this one? Where are they? And then I landed on this particular name. Then I was told, that one stopped coming to church about 3 years ago. And he is now a drunkard, and there's principally nothing that can be done. We have done everything we could, you know. We have done everything we could. In fact, when you go to him, he will be caught, even if he's drunk, he will be quoting verses for you. So those are the people the Bible have said that once they fall, they can't come back. So I became tempted and, you know, interested to say, let me go and see for myself what has become of the brother. And for sure, when I reached home, he was indeed drunk, and he was actually from smoking. So it was a combination of drinking and smoking. Then was like, oh, pastor, welcome. It's been long. You have come to pay me a visit. I said, yes. You know, I was just in the neighborhood, so I was trying to find out where my members are, and I noticed we are not at church. Then we started a very, very long, long conversation. And by the way, the conversation was one-sided. It was him talking most of the time. You know, he talked about politics, he talked about this, he talked about that. And eventually, he started lamenting the injuries that had happened to him, on how the church dealt with him the time he had a problem, and he felt neglected. And after feeling neglected, he resolved that he is not coming back to church. So he was just an injured member. And he started drinking beer, thinking that The church does not care. The church does not love him. The church had just forgotten about him. So I started reasoning with him, just trying to remind him that God was still interested in him, and that my going to visit him was actually God sending me back to him to remind him that there's a role that he must come and play in the church, and that his space is still unoccupied at church, so he must come back. So from that discussion, I was with another elder. We concluded and prayed. It was on a Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, evening, he didn't come. Thursday, he didn't come. And surprisingly, on the Sabbath, he just popped up and came. And then, to the amazement of everyone, was like, aha, so you are surprised that I'm here. Sometimes we think that there are these people who know scriptures, and once they tend to miss the way, they cannot come back. The interpretation of scripture here, it actually has two perspectives. And the perspective is, number one, there are times we think that because somebody is able to memorize verses, because somebody is able to be in church for a long time, we sometimes think that that person is a believer. You can be a member of the church, but you have not believed. You have intellectual knowledge of something, but that does not make one have, a personal experience with God. And, Hebrews, according to this interpretation, it is saying, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. And the question now is, what does it mean to be once enlightened? Okay, so this refers to some level of instruction in biblical truth. So when somebody has been instructed in biblical truth, does not mean that this person has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And this again reminds me of a certain brother we were with at the time I was doing my studies in theology. He came to study theology, but in the long run, we discovered actually that he was not even an Adventist. He was like some kind of a spy who came all the way from Romania, came to Zambia to study theology, but not that he had believed, in what he came to study. So we are saying that you can be enlightened, referring to some level of instruction in biblical truth, but it does not mean the fact that you have been instructed in the biblical truth, you have also been empowered by the Spirit. For example, when we read John chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus is described as the true light. He gives light to every man who comes into this world. So this cannot mean that the light that Jesus gives to every man who comes into the world would mean salvation, but that every man that comes into the world has been given life. He has been given enough light, and the bearer of that light is responsible with what he deals with that light. When light has been given, when someone has shared a verse with you, yes, you have this knowledge of this verse. What you do with that verse or that message, it is what is going to determine whether you are going to be a believer and believe in that light. And when you have believed in that light, that light now transforms you. But you can be given the same light and you do not believe in that light. Then transformation has not taken place. Yet, the intricacy of the verse is that it is impossible for those who have been enlightened, they have been instructed in the truth. They have even tasted the heavenly gift, meaning they have some kind of an experience with Jesus. They have an experience with Jesus. The writer continues to say, they even shared in the Holy Spirit. They have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. But with all these things, it may not mean that even if you have tasted the goodness of God, it does not mean you have believed. You have a glimpse. So the clear distinction for me here is that even if somebody has been exposed to the word of God, if that person has not accepted, has not taken a deliberate acceptance, it means that person has not been transformed by the Spirit of God. Yeah, that is my thinking. Okay. Unless the word of God acts on you, then you will remain in the faith.
Wow. Okay. All right. That was a very interesting perspective there, Mfundisi. Thank you very much. Looking forward to your answer for tomorrow. Have a wonderful day and Godspeed. Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Oh, thank you so much and God bless you.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.